this morning and let us read. Today I will be transformed by the power of God's word. It defines me, empowers me, and enriches me as I apply it to every area of my life. My mind is open, my heart is receptive, and I surrender my will to the Holy Spirit's control. I will never be the same in Jesus' name. While you're there, if you have your Bibles, open them again to Matthew chapter 28. For the sake of time, Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Just looking at these again, I want to take a little more time and go through these again, because I believe God is shaping purpose here at the church. And there's some things here that he does not want us to miss. Matthew 28, beginning at verse 16, he says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Let us bow our heads. Father, we do thank you and praise you for this opportunity to come. Shape us, Lord God. Open our hearts to what you might say today. Let this not be just another Sunday where we come and rejoice and we lift you up, but walk out the same. Show us, Lord God, what you would have us to do, and may we live and do everything to your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name we pray. If you agree, say amen. Before you take your seat, just look next to someone and just tell them good morning and welcome them. Just say we're glad to have you here. Good morning. Good morning. And good morning. Good morning. Morning. Now, good morning. As we get started this morning, wanting to honor your time, I just want to talk to you with the thought in mind, get back on mission. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, get back on mission. Now, I want you to listen to me this morning, because as I said, I believe God has some things that he wants our church to do, and we got to make sure that we're stuck on mission. Now, last week, we reviewed this text that we're looking at, where Jesus gave the mission of the church. It's also known as the Great Commission, where Jesus gave instructions to the church of what he wanted it to do. And sometimes you can read things, but without the context, not always understand the significance of what the passage is saying. So when you look here at this passage, I want to set it up so to make sure that we understand what Christ is telling us to do. You remember here in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus has died and has been raised from the dead. And he is about to go to heaven to sit on the right hand of the Father until he comes back in judgment. So Jesus is about to leave the earth and go sit with the Father, and he's not coming back until it's time for him to execute judgment. He tells his disciples, "I have won the victory. I have conquered death, and now all power and authority has been given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. But before I go back to heaven, there's something that I need you to do for me." He tells them that I have spent the last 3.5 years with you. I have led you to God. I have taught you faith. I have taught you how to love. I have taught you forgiveness. I've taught you how to live. For the last 3.5 years, you have been my disciples. You have been my students. You have been my pupils. You have been learning from me. You have failed me over and over and over again. Peter, you denied me. Thomas, you doubted me. Judas, you betrayed me. All of you abandoned me, and yet I still loved you. You guys wanted to call down fire from heaven to devour everybody, and I taught you that that wasn't the right way how to deal with things. You all didn't even understand the word of God, but I came and I taught you how to understand it. You didn't know how to live right or how to honor God or how to walk holy, but I discipled you. And now Jesus gives them the mission or the orders of what he wants them to do. He tells them, now my work is done here on earth, and I want you to go and make disciples of all nations. He tells them, I want you to go and do what I have done with you for the last 3.5 years with every nation. He's saying that I am the master. I am the one who has taught you for the last 3.5 years. Now I want you to take what I have taught you and to go teach everybody else in whom you come into contact with. You have been with me for the last 3.5 years learning from me as the master. You're not the master, but you've learned some things about the master. And therefore, the things that I have taught you, I now want you to go and teach other people. The question that we may ask ourselves today is, did that mission stop with the apostles? Did he mean for that just to stop with them because he gave the instructions to them? The answer to the question is no, it did not stop with the disciples. The mission did not stop with them because the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, Paul says, and these things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, in other words, the things that you have heard from me, the things that I have taught you, the things that I learned that now I am teaching you, he says, I want you to commit these to faithful men who will be able to what? Teach others also. So the things that Jesus taught Paul and the apostles, he says, is now your mission to go take that and do it to someone else. So the mission to make disciples is still in effect. Look at your neighbor and say it's still in effect. Our mission, listen, our mission is to make disciples. Everything that we do is supposed to be making disciples. When we come to church to hear a word, it's not just to hear a word, it's to hear a word so you can make disciples. When you teach Sunday school, it's not just to do it out of obligation. When you usher, whatever it is that you do, it's not just to do it, it's supposed to be so that you can make disciples. That is the mission that God gave the disciples. It's the mission that Paul gave to his disciples, and it's the mission that has passed down to all of us. It's what we should be doing as a church body and collectively as individuals. But in order to do that, listen, in order to do that, the question is, how do we do it effectively? If we as a church and as a body and as individuals are supposed to be making disciples, how do we do it? I want to give you 4 keys to how do we make disciples. And the first one is that we must first understand that God desires for all to be saved. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, God desires for all to be saved. Now listen, if you're serious about making disciples, if you're going to follow the command of Jesus to make disciples, then you have to understand that in God's mind, he wants everybody to be saved. Look at your neighbor and say, everybody. It's God's will that everybody be saved. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long suffering towards us, not willing that what? Any should perish, but that all what? Watch this. I'm headed somewhere. God wants everybody to be a disciple. He wants everybody to be saved. When we're talking about making disciples, who is it that he wants to be made disciples? He wants everybody to be saved. In fact, the Bible tells us that when Jesus Christ was on that cross, that he died for everybody. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:15, notice what it says, and that he died for all. Do you see that? He died for all. He died for everybody. So that means Jesus Christ desires for everybody to be saved. So that when we talk about making disciples, and that means everybody on your job, he wants to be saved. That means everybody that we walk past on the street, he wants to be saved. He doesn't want that person to perish. That means the people that you don't like and that you don't like hanging around, he still desires for them to be. That means the people who wear their pants hanging down that you can't stand, God still desires for them to be. That means the person who has had the child out of wedlock, the homosexual, the person who's a murderer, whoever it is God's will and desire for them to be. That means the person who is struggling in their Christian life and maybe they've wandered from God and maybe they hadn't been in church for a while, it is still the will and the desire for them to be. That means Jesus didn't come just to save us. How many know that once you get saved, you can get in a position of thinking that God just loves you? But Jesus is saying, I love everybody. I want everybody to be saved. So when he's talking about making disciples, the call to make disciples is for not a few. It's not for black people. Amen's going down. He didn't send us to just make disciples of black people. He didn't send us to make disciples of white people, Spanish people. He says everybody is to be saved. So when we talk about making disciples, one of the first things we have to understand is that it's God's desire that everybody be saved. Your children, your cousin, your crazy cousin, Pookie, everybody. God's desire is for everybody to be saved. Now the question is, the only way that they can be saved is they must be invited to be saved. Watch this. God desires for us to make disciples of every nation, but the only way that people can become disciples is if the church is inviting them to become disciples. Let me ask you a question. Are you inviting people to become a disciple? That commission was given to us. We can learn how to do it from Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. I want you to notice how Jesus invited disciples to follow him. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. If you look at the screen or just look in there in your Bibles, notice what it says. Jesus teaches us some things. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Then they immediately left their nets and what? Now, watch this. Jesus teaches us something. This is when Jesus was initially inviting his disciples. You may be saying, well, Pastor, how do I invite people to follow Jesus? We can learn some things from Jesus Christ right here of how he did it. Number one, you have to be looking for them. Look at your neighbor and say, you need to be looking for them. If you're going to make disciples, you got to be looking for them. When you look there, the Bible says that Jesus was out walking around and he saw and he noticed them. He saw them out on the boat. Here's the question. Are your eyes open and are you looking for people to disciple? Jesus told us we are to be making disciples. Listen, do you have blinders on to where you're only looking for certain people to make disciples? Watch this. He says, that's why I started there. Jesus said he desires that everybody be saved. Not just black people, not just people who live near you, but everybody to be saved. The first thing is when Jesus was inviting them, it says that you got to be looking for him. He was out walking around. Notice they weren't looking for Jesus. He had to see them. Right? So if we're going to make disciples, one of the first things is that we have to be looking for them. The second thing we see about Jesus when he was making disciples is that he approached them about following him. It says that they didn't come to him, but that he approached them. How many of you know that we drive down the street all up and down and there's always people on the sideline at every stoplight? How many of you know that they're not coming to you? Yeah, except for alms. Except they're asking for something. Listen, but what we see from Jesus, listen, here's my question. Are you expecting people to come to you for Christ or are you thinking about going to them? Remember, the commission was not given to the lost. The commission was given to those who are found. Right? So if we're waiting for that person at the stoplight to receive Jesus, they ain't coming if they're not approached. The disciples were fishermen. They weren't thinking anything about Jesus. And the Bible says that Jesus approached them. Why is it so important that we approach them? Because the Bible tells us that there are forces preventing people from coming to Christ. Watch this. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, I'm trying to help you on your job, that person ain't gonna just come to you. Your neighbor who you need to reach ain't just going to come to you. that nephew, that son, that grandson, whoever it is that you know is living on it, he not going to come to you. Those who are saved must go to him. And the reason why is because the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, there are forces, there are spirits trying to stop that person from coming to Christ. Ephesians 2, number 1, it says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world," watch this, "following the prince of the power of the air," watch, "the spirit that is" what? "Now at work in" the what? Those who are disobeying God, there are spirits at work in their lives trying to prevent them from coming to Christ. Anybody remember before you came to Christ how even when you tried to come to Christ, there was always something trying to pull you back out there? But thank God for that grandma or that church missionary or whoever it was that didn't give up on you, but they kept coming to you. And even when you said you didn't want Jesus, they still kept coming to pull you back. Right? Listen, the Bible is saying, Jesus is saying the onus is not on them that are lost. It's on us. If they're going to get saved, we're not here to just come in amongst saved people. The issue is you got to go out and get them because they're following the wrong leader, and that leader is not going to let them come. Watch this. So Jesus teaches us, number one, you got to be looking for. Number two, you must approach them. But number three, he pursued relationship with them above correcting them and criticizing their faults. Watch this from Jesus. When you're trying to witness to someone or you're trying to share Christ with them, someone, listen, that for some of us in our family who you know you got people in your family, that's why they're not listening to you. Boy, ain't nobody want to say amen. Because when you go to somebody in the wrong attitude, they don't want to hear what you're saying. When you looked at Jesus, you noticed that he did not preach at them or he did not criticize them for any of their faults. He didn't spend a lot of his time talking about the curse words they were saying out there on the ship. Come on, somebody. Put yourself during that time. You know, fishermen tend to. Come on. He didn't talk about their clothes. He didn't talk about how dirty they were. He didn't say anything. Notice that when Jesus came at them, he didn't preach at them and talk to them about the word and how they dying and going to hell and hellfire and everything else. Because how many of you know that generally don't work? Anybody liked it when somebody came to you talking about you going to hell, you're nasty, you did this, and you did that? Was that effective with you at all? Watch this. So learn from Jesus. When you're ministering to somebody, that's not the right time to go preaching Bible at them. And do you know why? Because the Bible says that somebody who has not decided to follow Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, all that Bible stuff that you're talking don't make no sense to them. Let me give you a Bible. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, notice what it says. "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God." Why? "For they are" what? "Foolishness to him." Why? "Nor can he know them." Why? "Because they are spiritually discerned." So you're trying to speak spiritual things to someone who is spiritually dead and they don't understand anything what you're saying. Right? So preaching the Bible at somebody who's unsaved is not necessarily going. How many know when you go to somebody who's not saved and you say you need to give 10% of your income to the church, that sounds like absolute what? 10% of my money to the church? What? Listen, the only reason why we give 10% of the church to the church, if you do give 10% to the church, you should. But the only reason why we do that is because we have agreed to follow the master, and the master says that we're supposed to do that. Right? But someone who has not subscribed to the master doesn't understand any of that, and it makes perfectly no sense to them. Watch this. So when you're trying to reach out to someone, you don't preach the Bible at them. Well, the way you do it is you build relationship with them, and you draw them that way. Remember what we talked about last week. When you're trying to reach somebody for Christ to make disciples, the best way to reach out to them is to share your testimony of what Jesus has done for you. And once you share your testimony with them, you expect God to do the rest. John 6:44 says, "Nobody's coming to me except I draw them." So remember this. You can talk, preach, do all you want, but if Jesus don't draw them, they ain't coming in. Right? So the first thing is, in order for them to come, they have to be invited. Now, watch this. To make disciples, number three, our focus must be on creating a community of believers where discipleship can occur. Now, watch this. See, we spend a lot of time on the front end trying to get people to get saved, but nothing on the back end, and this is where the problem is. Our focus must be on creating a community of believers where discipleship occurs. Why? Why is discipleship necessary? Because deciding to follow Christ is just the beginning of becoming a disciple. And this is where many people is missing it. Watch this. See, when you first get saved, the Bible says that something happens spiritually. You become born again. If you got your Bibles, turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. How many of you remember the story of Nicodemus? Okay? I want you to understand. Don't tune out on me. Understand what I'm saying here, because this is why so many in the church are struggling. The Bible says when somebody decides to accept Christ, to follow the Master, something occurs. Spiritually, you become born again. When you read Nicodemus, I'm going to paraphrase it just for the sake of time. The Bible says that Nicodemus, who was a religious ruler, came to Jesus, and when asking him, you know, what do I have to do to be saved? And I know you are God, you know, you're something special about you and so forth. And Jesus says, Nicodemus, let me stop you. Until a person is born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. He'll never see it. He never understands it. One of the first things that happens when you or I decide to follow Christ, the Bible says, is that we become born again. That born again obviously does not mean physical, right? When you read in the text in John chapter 3, Nicodemus thought that's what he was talking about. And when you read it, whatever verse it is, verse 3 or whatever, he asks him, how can a man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Right? He thought born again was being born again physically. And Jesus stops and said, listen, I'm not talking about a physical rebirth. I'm talking about a spiritual rebirth. He says, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, spiritually rebirth, he cannot see or understand the kingdom of God. Now watch this. When you get saved, the first thing that happens is you become born again, or that your spirit man becomes alive. Your spirit was dead. You remember the Bible says in Genesis how when Adam sinned, the Bible says, the day you eat of that fruit, you shall surely what? And so when Adam ate off of that fruit, his spirit man died. When you decide to accept Christ, what happens is your spirit man is rebirthed, or it becomes alive again. But here's the problem, and here's where people are missing it. Your spirit man has been rebirthed. It's been reborn, but it has to grow. Watch this. When you get saved, it's like you're starting over as a novice. You're like a baby. And how many know that when a baby is born, it's born one time? That's likened to conversion. When you get saved, you get saved one time, but then you have to grow spiritually. See, and what's happening is people in the body of Christ are getting saved. You're making a decision to follow Christ, but spiritually, you're not growing into an adult. Watch this. And the only way to grow into an adult is there must be discipleship to help you grow. You see, when you get born again, you start off as a baby and you have to grow into an adult. And the problem for many of us, watch this, even in this church right here and all across, people are getting saved, but that's all they're doing is getting saved. And because you're just getting saved but not growing, you stay an immature child. Let me give you an example. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, let me explain. Notice what Paul says here. Getting saved is not the end. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, notice what he says. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as what? People of the flesh, what? As, wait a minute, don't skip over that. You're in Christ, you're just a what? Anybody see that? You're in Christ, you're just an infant. And so I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food. Why? Because you were not ready for it. You got to understand, when a person decides to accept Christ, they start off in Christ as an infant. You may have decided to follow him, but you don't know anything. And now you have to grow. What? Look at verse 3. For you are still of the what? Watch this. Now you saved. He talking to saved folk. But you're still of the flesh. Why? For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh, behaving only in a human way? Watch this. See, when you first get saved, you start off as an infant. And how many know that when you start off, when you're born, you don't start off as a mature adult, do you? Same way when you are born spiritually, you start off as an infant. And how many know that infants only think about the flesh? See, he tells you how to spot someone who's an infant. He says that a person who's an infant is going to struggle with the flesh. Come on, somebody. Infant babies, most of us in here, and I had one, all they think about is me, myself. Infants are completely controlled by the body. They eat, they sleep, and they poop. That's all that they do. Watch this. Everything about an infant is about me. I sleep when I want to sleep. When I'm hungry, when this body tell me I'm hungry, you need to jump, run around this room, go warm up some food. It don't matter if it's 3 o'clock in the morning. You get up and you come take care of this flesh because I'm hungry. When I need to poop, I don't wait till I find a toilet. Because my body say I need to go right now. Watch this. And I don't care anything about you. I don't care anything about your inconvenience. I don't care about what it puts you through. I'm an infant, and the only thing I care about is me. Right? So the Bible says that when you get saved, you start off as an infant, and infants struggle with the flesh. Watch this. We got some people in here right now. You recently got saved. And how many know that when you recently got saved, you're still struggling with some stuff? Boy, I know we got some people been saved a long time, Deacon Josh. But when you really initially get saved, see, it's a struggle because you've been following your flesh for the last 20 years, 30 years, however long you've been living, and now you got to stop listening to that to start doing what Jesus says do. And how many know that it don't just stop? Your flesh just don't stop. Come on, somebody. I'm trying to encourage somebody. Listen, it don't stop. You decided to follow Christ, but you still got them tendencies to want to go back to Johnny House. Oh, I know we got some saved people in here right now. You got saved, but you still got a desire to open up that yak. That 2020, is that what they call it, Tony? 2020? Mad Dog, Tonic, Gin. Watch it. Why? Because, watch it. Watch what he's saying. Because it stimulates your flesh. Right? You got saved. You want to follow Christ. You know that some of the music you listening to, you probably shouldn't be listening to, but it stimulates my flesh. I mean, I like how it makes me feel, and everything is about how I feel, you know. How many know that even in the church, we got a church full of infants? You ain't got to say amen, because it might be you. Listen, see, when you got a church full of people that the only thing they care about is me, how you make me feel, pastor, that message in minister the way how I like it, you ain't sing the songs that I like you to sing. You're not dressing the way how I like people to dress. You sitting in my seat. Della been playing too much on that keyboard and I don't like how good he play on that keyboard. He playing too much. He taking away from Jesus because he played too good. Watch this. Hear what I'm saying. In a lot of churches, see, this is where discipleship occurs. Because in a lot of churches, you have people who got saved, but they're still infants. They've never grown. Watch this. There's another level. See, just when you get saved, you have to grow into maturity, and that's what's not happening. Watch this. In Hebrews chapter 5, watch this. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. You can be an infant in Christ, but sometimes you got to grow out of that to a child. How many of you know you don't stay an infant forever? You should be growing. Now watch what Paul says. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Notice what he says. He says, for though by this time you what? Wait a minute. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. He says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers. Wait a minute. You done been in church so long. You ought to be teaching somebody. Wait a minute. Amen. That went down. You come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Tuesday night, Bible study, everything, and you ought to be teaching somebody. But what? Well, look what he said. He said, you ought to be teachers, but notice what he says. But you need someone. Don't miss that. He says, you ought to be a teacher, but you need someone. He didn't say you can do it all by yourself. See, this is where discipleship comes in. See, when you get saved, you can't figure out everything on your own. I'm headed somewhere. When you get saved, you need someone to teach you. Come on, somebody. Listen, that means you don't got everything yourself. Can I tell you something? I have been in meetings. You can be pastor, whatever it is. I've been in meetings to where somebody said something. I hadn't thought about it that way at all. He says, you ought to be teaching somebody, but you still need someone to teach you, again, the basic principles of the oracles of God, the basic tenets, the basic doctrines of the Word of God. He said, you don't need milk, not solid food, for everyone who lives on milk is what? Unskilled in the word of why? Since he is a, watch this. You see that? So he's saying you got a bunch of children in the church. They go to church. They've been in church a long time, but they still children. But amen, that went down. You know how you can tell a child? It's because they're unskilled in the word of God. He didn't say you don't know anything about the word of God. He just says you're unskilled in using the word of God. In other words, if you've been in church for 30 years and you can't lead nobody to Christ, boy, amen. I'm just telling you, if you've been in church and you actually do a Sunday school and you shut down, why are you shutting down? Pastor, I don't know what to say. You've been in church 30 years. Pastor, I don't really know what I'm going to say. I'm going to get up there. I don't mean just get up there and ramble on and on and on, but being skilled in using the word of God. He says when you can't be skilled in using the word of God, you are a spiritual child. He says, but solid food is for those who have their powers of what? Trained by constant. How do you grow spiritually? You must be trained by constant practice. You don't grow spiritually by just coming on Sunday, hearing a message on Sunday, and that's it. I'm just telling you, it don't work that way. When you get saved, watch this. Here's the next thing. So when a child is born, how does a child grow up? Watch this. See, this is where discipleship comes in. When you got a baby, you have a baby, how does that baby grow up? How does that baby learn to be mature? A more mature person comes along and helps that child to develop. We call them parents. Come on, somebody. the parent is supposed to come alongside and help protect the child. Hey, say, don't do this. Don't go there. Don't eat this. Let me help you with this. This is what leadership is. This is what a man is. This is how you pay your money. This is how you do this. This is how you set aside this. Somebody more mature has to come alongside the child and say, this is how you do it. Watch this. What happens when a parent has a child, but they leave him to himself to fend for himself? Watch this now. This is happening in church every Sunday. What happens when a child is born and the parent walks away and lets that child fend for himself? I'm not going to protect you. I'm not going to show you anything. I know you just born into this world. You don't know what to do. You about to eat arsenic. You don't even know what it is. You don't know how to. You don't know anything. I'm just going to let you fend for yourself. Can I tell you something? That's happening every Sunday. Watch this. Individuals are being birthed spiritually. And those parents in the church are leaving them to fend for themselves. They're not discipling them. They're not coming alongside them and saying, look, I'm 50 years old. I've been living in this world a little longer than you. Let me help you see how to do this. I know you just recently got married and y'all just got saved. Y'all gonna struggle in your marriage all the time. Let me come along and try to help you in your marriage. I know you just got saved, young lady, and you dealing with the flesh. You got hormones going on in your body. Rather than coming alongside to help you, I'm gonna talk about you like a dog. I'm gonna talk about how bad you are. I'm gonna talk about the dress that you got on. In other words, I'm going to let you fend for yourself, even though I know I've been through everything that you've been through. I felt the same emotions you did. When I was your age, I might have been not listening to Beyonce, but I was listening to the same stuff. But now I'm 50, I'm 60 years old, and I see you. You just accepted Christ. And Jesus, this is exactly what Jesus is saying. What I have taught you, you're supposed to go back and disciple them. You know what a disconnect is? Some of us have gotten saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. God has done many things in your life, and you ain't doing nothing with it. You're not discipling nobody. You're more quick to talk about what they're not doing right. How many of you know it's very easy to talk about what somebody ain't doing right? But it's much harder to go to them and say, hang on, sweetheart. You know, listen, I'm 50 years old. I'm not 50 years old. I'm much younger than that. Y'all can tell from the way I look. I'm much younger than that. But how many know that when, like, my son TJ is 9. Like, I'm 3-4 times his age. Right? It's my responsibility to go back to him and help him not make some of the same mistakes that I made. Right? That's what discipleship is all about. Now, how is discipleship done best? That's where I'm going to end because my time is going. How does discipleship end best? How do we disciple people? We can learn from Jesus two or three things. Number one, Jesus made disciples by spending time with them. Listen, Jesus made disciples by spending time with them. Notice what he said. He said, come and follow me. Come and spend time with me. Come and live with me. Don't just come on Sunday. Come and spend time with me. He spent time with them building relationships. You can't help somebody grow if you're not spending any time with them. You know, one of the things that I love about Rethia and Andre is instead of talking about these young people, they spend time with them. They do. How many know that two people can't do it all? How many know that two people don't got all the answers? You know what? There are some of you in here who have been abused. You have been molested. You have been talked to like a dog. You have been overlooked. And you don't know how many young people or young people who just got saved are going through the exact same thing. And they fending for themselves. Nobody is coming alongside helping them to grow. The only way that happens is you have to spend time with them. Number two, Jesus made disciples by teaching them the word of God. The only way disciples are made is somebody has to teach them the word of God. Listen, if you look at the pattern, Jesus taught his disciples what he knew about the word of God, and then they went and taught what they knew about the word of God. What am I saying? The disciples didn't know everything about the word of God. They just taught what they knew. Watch this. And it's the same with you and I. You're never going to be Jesus, but you can teach what you know. Jesus is calling us. Listen, you may say, well, Pastor, I'm not perfect. I don't really know anything. Yeah, you do. You done been through some stuff in your life, and you made it through. And since you made it through, you take what God has taught you, and you start helping somebody else to develop with it. Can I ask you something? I'm about to close. What good is it? What good is it if God gives you the answer to marital conflict, but you don't do anything with it? You don't help anybody else with it, right? If it dies with you. If in your marriage, you have a really good marriage, everything's going straight, y'all experiencing joy every Sunday, praise God, you come in shouting, but everybody else around you is suffering. What good is that wisdom that you have? What good is your wisdom that you have if your money is super good, like Andy James back there? You got more money than you know what to do with. Your pockets are always heavy. What good is it if you got all that money, if you don't teach others the principles of how to make it? If you get in the grave and you die, but you haven't taught anybody else how to use money, right? A lot of us, listen, here's the thing. The best way to do this, when you look at Jesus did it in two ways. He taught publicly like this. He preached. But if you study the Bible, that was probably the least effective, right? He talked to many people, he preached, but most of the people didn't get half the stuff Jesus was talking about. The real discipleship happened in small groups. Listen, small groups is where discipleship really occurs. Do you know why? Because that's where you build relationships. And can I tell you something? You don't talk to people about what's going on with you if you ain't got no relationship with them. It don't happen. Listen, and so what's happening is in churches all across the country, see, you good with coming to church on Sunday, hearing a word from the pastor, but what do you do with it after you leave? You know what he said? He said, you need someone to teach you. In other words, you can read some of, listen, you can read the Bible all you want, but you're still not going to get everything about it. Can I tell you something? In my small groups, I'm getting ready to close. In my small group, I happen to be with a group of men that I love. Relationship is built with these men. Andy James, Deacon Andrews, that Freddie Baker. That Freddie Baker. And I'm going to say Charles Cooper in here because I don't see him this morning. And that Charles Cooper. Listen, Mark Ford. Listen, our group have met so many times. We get in there, watch this, we can talk about anything. There have been things that we've talked about in our group that I pray they don't say nothing about because it may not be the most positive thing said. Come on, somebody. But how many of you know that doesn't happen unless the relationship is there? That relationship is not built during church on Sunday. Watch this. And so when stuff is going on in my life, I know who I can call. Do you have that? Listen, I have heard some of these men speak stuff in my life that I didn't know about. And I would like to think that at some times maybe I've said something that maybe they hadn't thought about. How many know you can be as old as my daddy and still miss it? I just want to give him, y'all see the flesh getting ready to come out of him. Listen, we're starting the small group semester for the summer semester towards the middle end part of June. Listen, I'm encouraging you like I do every semester. You got to get plugged in to start growing spiritually. Listen, you can go home, you can read your Bible all you want on your own. That's only going to get you so far. Because if you're blinded to something, if you have darkness in your life, you need light to expose it. And listen, I've heard of men doing some stuff in their marriage that is so crazy, but they think that it's fine because they got darkness surrounding them. They saved, but they don't see what's going on. Then next thing you know, you hear of somebody getting divorced. Why? Because you're living the Christian life on your own. Some of y'all young people, listen, you need some older women to get around you to help you. How many of you know that someone like her, she's so beautiful. See, she may not, how many know that the older you get, you don't always want to talk to mama about it? You know, because you feeling yourself now, you know. I'm 21 years old, I'm driving, I got my own job, and I'm in college or whatever. You don't want to talk to mama, but how many know that you need some other Christian women to say, hang on, wait a minute there, sweetheart. Wait a minute. That boy you talking to, I think you can do a little better. Well, my mama was saying the same thing. Well, you know, like my daddy used to say, take your time, son. Take your time. He wouldn't say no, but he'd just say, take your time, son. Don't rush anything. Just take your time. Listen, some of y'all young ones, I ain't pointing my finger at none of y'all, because the truth of the matter is, when I was your age, had it not been for a holy and graceful God, I might have made some of the same mistakes. And the truth of the matter is, for us, brothers and sisters, listen, there are marriages in here going on right now. People are smiling in your face, and they are about to file for divorce. All that stuff. I know. Like, I'm not going to tell you, but I know. I know what's going on. But here's the thing. One thing that I've learned is it's hard for one man to disciple an entire church. It's almost impossible. One, because I don't possess all the gifts. Two, I got my own family myself. I can't hardly spend any time with mine. Watch this. So you need groups to where people can get together and learn more about Christ in a comfortable, safe environment. I'm going to say this in close. That Charles Cooper came up with a covenant. His thing is, whatever happens here stays here. He said, I bet not hear about nothing. What did he say on Channel 20 News or whatever it is? Channel 20, I don't want to hear nothing. Ain't that what he say, Baker? I don't want to hear nothing on Channel 20. Watch this. And as silly as that may sound, watch this. Not initially, but over time, men start sharing more and more and more. Watch this. And we don't tell, I don't tell everybody everything that's going on with me. But there are so many few men. I don't mean to offend anybody or anything, but I'm just saying that's been my small group. I'm not saying I'm not close to anybody else, but that's just been my small group. And when you're in your small group, that's who you build close relationships with. So you're going to hear more about this. Here's what I'm saying, particularly some of the more senior people. Remember, God allowed you to live alone so that you can help somebody else develop. I'm telling you, there are people in here who are getting saved. I know them because I get the cards. I see there are young people in here getting saved. They talking about getting married, and mama may not be able to reach them because they're not hearing from mama. But somebody like Betty Jones, oh, you know, they come up all proper. Oh, let me talk to you, sister. Yes. So let me explain to you how God does this and that. Watch this. See, she may have more influence than mama may even have. You may have more influence than anybody else may have. So don't think just because I'm getting old, my job is over. Oh, no. You still have plenty to do. Let us bow our heads. I got to close. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity to come.